Well, good morning, everyone. I am simply delighted to be here. It has been way too long. So hi, GCBC. And it's been typical. We were here about 3 years ago for 5 years, and there's always a migration of kids when they leave, and that's wonderful. The little kids are no longer little kids. When we were here, they're getting big, and that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. So it has been way too long since we've been here. It's so good to see you all again and reconnect, and we've missed you a lot. So thank you, Jason and GCBC, for the opportunity to be here. Actually, Jason and I have the privilege of heading off to Italy for a leadership conference, and that's the reason I'm here. The reason my wife, Sanlin, isn't here, she's back in America. We had the privilege of being part of the church family 3 years ago for a five-year period. And when we came to Ireland from America, as you can tell, from California, we have five children. None of them were married, but in 3 years and 7 days, all five of them decided to up and marry on us. And I go, guys, you're killing me. And now when we left Galway, we only had two grandchildren. We had a three-year-old and a one-year-old. And now, yesterday, we had grandchild number 10. And we have another one due in January. So I don't know if I, as the dad, told the birds and the bees story too good or not good enough. I haven't figured it out. And they're coming so fast and furious, I've given them numbers. So you're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But yesterday we had Wesson James, born to our daughter Annie. We have four boys and a girl, and Sanlin has the privilege of being there with the birth of our daughter's second son, Wesson. So she greets you. She wishes that she could be here as well. So thank you so much. What happened to us? Well, we moved up. You guys pushed us up into your sister church up in Sligo. We've been up there for the past 3 years. I don't know if many of you have been up to Sligo. Do you know the area very well? It's smaller. Of course, you have Caroline, and Fiona's up there. And I hear Sean and a couple other guys are up there at the grammar school. But we're in a church that's actually Sligo Baptist Church that's been around for like 42 years. Prior to our coming, there wasn't any pastoral leadership, and we've been there, and we have some new colleagues, and things are starting to happen, so we're very delighted to be an extension of Galway City Baptist Church up there. So, yeah. Well, what do we want to do today? Well, today we want to kind of meld two things together. It's harvest time, and what we do at harvest time is we thank God for his abundant blessings in our lives, but I also want to just kind of sit on that topic and theme of joy for a little bit out of the book of Philippians, as Jason read there. So we want to bring those two together because I think God wants us to be a people of joy. Actually, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Be full of joy in the Lord," and that's a command. So what does that mean for us? We want to kind of tease that out a little bit and understand it. So let me give us maybe a working definition of what we're talking about when we talk about joy. Joy is holy optimism. Joy is holy optimism that enables us to live, reflect, and serve Jesus in productive and fruitful ways, no matter what the circumstances. So joy is holy optimism that enables you and me to live, to reflect, and to serve Jesus in productive and fruitful ways, no matter what the circumstances. So that's where we're going, and I want us to just be reminded of three reasons why we should harvest daily a harvest of joy. Why should we be a people that harvest joy? So we want to go in that direction. So let's pray together if we could. Father, again, what a privilege, an honor, and a joy, and a delight it is to be in your presence, to be your sons and your daughters through what your Son, our Savior, has done for us. Father, might the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be truly acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So many of you know that we drive a red Jeep. As they say in the States, a truck. That's the closest I get to being a farm boy. My daughter-in-law is a rodeo girl. She's a ranch girl. That's the closest I get to be a farmer and a rancher. I actually went to an agricultural school to study vet medicine. I don't even like animals. I don't even know how that happened. But up there in Colorado from Arizona, I got to be around a bunch of ranching kids who come from big ranches. The girls that were there would say, "Hey, Kirk, do you want to come to the ranch for the weekend? My papa will fly his plane in here and I'll give you some beef steaks." I go, "Yeah, I'd love that." But I'm really a city slicker. But I did notice from these farmers and these ranchers around harvest time, there's great joy and great delight at the bounty surrounding that. The month of November in the States is Thanksgiving time. That's my mom's favorite holiday of the year. There seems to be around that time a real sense of joy. Throughout the scriptures, the different feasts in the Old Testament, they're couched in joy. So we want to look at that theme of joy. Isaiah, for example, chapter 9, verse 3, "As with joy at the harvest," or Jeremiah 31, verse 12, "they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain and the new wine." So we want to couple those two things of harvest and joy together. Certainly around the birth of the church at Pentecost, there was great joy surrounding that. So why joy? Because God commands it of us. God wants us to be a joyful people. Again, as we mentioned in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, it's a command: be full of joy in the Lord. We need it. Our church needs it. And when we look at the world and take its pulse, I think the world needs a jolt of joy. Don't you? It's a huge theme. It's such a God theme. And if you look at the adjectives describing the word joy, you see an inexpressible, you see an everlasting, you see a glorious kind of a joy. Is that your experience with joy? Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength. In his presence is fullness of joy." In John chapter 15, verse 11 says, Jesus, "My joy in you, that your joy may be complete." So what are we saying? What is joy? Joy is holy optimism. Look to your neighbor and say, "Joy is holy optimism that enables me and you to live, to reflect, and to serve Jesus in productive and fruitful ways. No matter what the circumstance." No matter what the circumstance. Is that even possible? How is that possible? That's all well and good, Kirk, but how does that work? My grandkids, my wife is an early childhood person, and she loves that book, Alexander's No Good, Terrible, Horrible Day, Bad, Bad, Bad Day. Well, how about not only a day, but how about a horrible week? How about that? Or how about this Florida man, a true story, that was outside of his kitchen, outside of a sliding glass window. He was cleaning his motorcycle. For some reason, he was revving it. It went into gear. It went through the glass plate window, ran into the kitchen table. He fell over, shards of glass all around. His wife turns around, sees him in this pile, calls the ambulance. They had to go down a flight of stairs because they live on a hill. She meets the ambulance. They come and take this gentleman to the hospital. She uprights the motorcycle, sees petrol on the floor, takes paper towels and douses the petrol, throws it in the toilet, And her husband comes home, walks through the broken glass window. He's so despondent, he goes into the toilet. He sits down, he lights a smoke, and he throws the fag in the toilet. And kaboom! Burned. She has to call the ambulance. The same people come. They come and get him, and they're taking him down these flight of stairs. And the ambulance guy said, well, what happened to him? She explained what happened to her husband. He laughed uncontrollably, dropped him. He broke another wrist and an ankle. You would think we had a bad day. That guy had a horrible bad day. No, thank you. But really, when life does us wrong, when there's pain in relationships, when there's trouble with raising children, when there's suffering, when there's health issues, how do we relate? What is our response to be? Is joy to be a response? Can we be joyful no matter what? Well, absolutely, because joy is holy optimism. When I had the privilege of working with your kids, I'd say, now, when mom and dad ask you what you learned today in Sunday school, please don't go home and say, nothing, because that would make Pastor Kurt cry. So at least we'll get the definition of joy down. Joy is holy optimism. Say that with me. Joy is holy optimism. Well, that was kind of weak. Joy is holy optimism that enables me to live, to reflect, to serve Jesus in productive and fruitful ways, comma, no matter what. No matter what the circumstance. I'm sure some of us would say, if only a couple things were different in my life. I thought by now things would be different. There would be change in my life, but they haven't come. I've been robbed of joy. We want to look quickly at Paul, the book of Philippians. As you guys know, you have great teachers around here. I don't know if we've gone through Philippians here or not. You're in one of my favorite books in Colossians right now, but I think Philippians, the book of Philippians, empowers us to have joy when it's slipping away from our lives, to produce a harvest of joy. Four chapters, 104 verses. Let me just say, remind us who wrote it and when he wrote it. It was the church in Philippi was founded by Paul on his second missionary journey in 52 AD. It's about 20 years after Jesus Christ has resurrected from the dead. The church is up and running and doing great guns. It's a very special church in Paul's book. He possibly loved this church the most. And he, as an apostle, planted that church, but now he's writing to this church as ones who have greatly encouraged him. They've supported him. It's a thank you letter, and he's saying, how could you do that? I can't believe how generous you've been to me. Let me just read some of his words of affirmation and love to them out of the first chapter, Philippians 1, 3 through 11. Paul writes, I thank my God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul is showing his love for the Philippian church, an overflowing God kind of a love for them. But most importantly about our study this morning, we need to remember where Paul is. He's in prison. 24/7, he's chained to some guards. He's been there for a couple years. And crazy thing, he talks about joy in the midst of that. In the midst of that, he's talking about that. More than anything, Paul wanted to get the gospel out, but he's chained inside of a prison. He wants to preach the gospel all the way to Rome, but his circumstances prevent him from that. He's dashed, he's stripped of all of his hopes and his dreams. And in the worst case scenario, yet he chooses joy in the midst of that. Are you kidding me? How do you choose joy in that midst? How can we choose joy in the midst of a horrible circumstance in our lives? Is that even possible? Joy is holy optimism. Joy is holy optimism that enables me to live, reflect, and serve Jesus in positive and fruitful way, no matter what the circumstance. Do you believe that? I think that's the definition of joy. Let's look at that. Paul chose joy. Jesus expects you and I to choose joy in the midst of those circumstances. Yes, we are to choose joy each and every time, no matter what. Because in that moment, what we're trying to say is, we're not in control here. In that moment, we're not in control here. But we do have a greater hope. And we do have a source of joy that's not based on our circumstance. And dear friends, that's a holy moment. When we decide, how am I going to react in this moment? That's a holy and a sacred moment. Ever wonder why people experience joy? Some people experience joy often in their daily lives, even in the midst of tough times, as opposed to those who have chosen an attitude other than that. Is a joy-filled life possible? Yes, it is. Paul says there's a difference between joy and happiness, isn't there? Happiness depends on our circumstance, but joy does not. It depends on our choice in Christ. Finding real joy comes from what we focus our attention on and our energies. And Paul did that in knowing Christ. What do we read in Philippians 3, 8 through 10? This is Paul's words. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. So, dear friends, that's our hope and our prayer for each of us, that we'll think and believe as Paul did, to know Christ and to know him more. So let's get practical in the 21st century here in Galway. Let's look at three reasons why God wants you and I to produce a harvest of joy on a daily basis. I think a harvest of joy shows Jesus off in the world. Here's the first reason. Producing a harvest of joy shows Jesus off to the world around us, and God is honored and glorified in that. Joy is a character quality that of God that reflects something attractive about him. Joy is a character quality, it's an attribute of God that reflects something attractive about him. It showcases our Lord beautifully. Joy comes from him. God is a joyful God. Jesus is too. Well, what about Jesus' people? Shouldn't we be some of the most joyful people on the planet? I think we should. Shouldn't we be some of the most joyful people? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. What does Paul write in Romans 14, 17? The kingdom of God isn't eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. John 15:11, I've referred to a little bit earlier. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Psalm 16:11, in his presence is fullness of joy. I love that first century early church. There was joy surrounding that church. The church is the hope of the world, to coin a cliche out there. The bride of Christ is something so wonderful and beautiful, and we get to manifest that joy to the world around us. Jesus is showcased, so let's be full of joy in the Lord and show Jesus off to people around us. Second reason I think that we should be harvesting joy on a daily basis is that it shows the world there's an option of other sorts. So I'm trying to spell the word joy. So we have Jesus. It shows Jesus off. Because what is joy? It's holy optimism that enables me to live, reflect, and serve Jesus in productive and fruitful ways, comma, no matter what the circumstance. People who are wanting to experience Jesus will when we harvest joy in our lives. Secondly, the O shows the world that there's an option of other sorts to their dilemma. God is honored and glorified. Dear friends, we show the world that there's another alternative to being sad, to being angry, to being anxious, to being depressed when we harvest joy in our lives. A fully devoted follower of Christ has the privilege of going to the well of joy and drawing from that well on a daily basis. When we're filled with joy, when we choose joy, we find strength to move forward as we need to. So joy is a choice that we need to cultivate. I don't know if you've heard this story, but this story is about a guy named Michael. You would really like Michael. I like that name. My brother's name is Michael. He was always in a good mood. Do you like to be around people that are always in a good mood? How many morning people are there here? Are you in a good mood in the morning? I'm a morning guy. My wife is not. She is not necessarily in a good mood in the morning. She's in a good mood at night. Am I in a good mood at night? I'm not in a good mood at night. But Michael was in a good mood, always had something positive to say. When someone asked him, "How are you doing, Mike?" he would always reply, "If I were doing any better, I'd have to be twins." If an employee was having a bad day, Michael was right there telling the employee how to take the positive side of life, the situation. One day a friend went up to Michael and said, "I don't get it. Why are you positive all of the time?" Michael replied, "Well, each morning I say to myself, Michael, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood or you can choose to be in a bad mood. I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens to me, I say to myself, I can choose to be a victim of this situation and cave in, or I can learn from it and be better. I choose to learn from it and be better. Every time someone complains, I say to myself, hey, I can choose to accept their complaining and be deflated, or I can choose to be positive and grow. I choose to be positive and grow." "Okay," his friend said, "you're right, but it isn't always that easy." Mike replied, "Life is all about choices. When you cut away all the junk, every situation is going to be a choice. You choose how to react to certain situations. You choose to be thankful. You choose to be worried. You choose to gain God's insight. Or you choose to be blinded by anger. You choose the life you will live." Over the next month, Michael's friend reflected on Michael, hadn't seen him, no longer saw him, but often throughout the year would think of him. Several years later, he had heard that Michael had been involved in a serious accident. He had fallen 60 feet from a communications tower. After 18 hours of surgery and months of intensive care, Michael was released from the hospital with rods in his back. Michael's friend saw him a few years after the accident and asked him, "How are you doing? If I were any better, I'd have to be twins." He would reply, "Do you want to see my scars?" He declined, but he did ask, "What went through your mind on the day of your accident, Michael? What happened? What were you thinking?" "As I lay there on the ground," he told him, "I remember I had two choices. I could choose to live or I could choose to die. I chose to live. Weren't you scared?" "Yes, but the paramedics were great. They kept telling me that I was going to be fine. But when they wheeled me into the A&E, I saw the expression on the faces of the doctors and I knew things weren't in good order. That really got me scared. Their eyes said, this one is a dead man. When I saw that, I knew I needed to take some action." "Well," he said, "you know how those nurses are always asking you 1,000 questions when you're in pain?" "Yeah, I know," his friend said. "Well, the nurse asked me, 'Are you allergic to anything?' And he said, 'Yes.' And the doctors and the nurses, they stopped immediately. 'Well, what are you allergic to?' And he said, 'Gravity.' They all started to chuckle. And he said, 'Look at me. Listen, I'm choosing to live here, so you will operate on me as if you're operating on a guy that's going to live, because I choose to live.' Thankfully, Michael lived at the skill of the great doctors because of his choice to live. This same choice is extended to us every single day, isn't it? Choose to live. Choose to be joyful. Live life intentionally. Choose joy. Rejoice, rejoice. It is our choice. Because what is joy? Joy is holy optimism that enables me to live, reflect, and serve Jesus in productive and fruitful ways, comma, no matter what the circumstance. Friends, be full of joy. Show the world that there's an option of other sorts out there to their dilemma. They will be glad you did. You will be glad you did. So reason number one, joy in our lives on a daily basis, a harvest of that shows the world Jesus. It also shows the world that there's an option of other sorts. Joy is a possibility. And then lastly, the why. A harvest of joy shows God that we're yielding to Him and ourselves to Him on a daily basis. And God is honored and glorified in that. We can't get away from the fact that joy is a command. It's a command in Scripture that we are to honor and obey. And by obeying it, we're honoring Him. Joy is like an offering of sacrifice of thanks to the Lord. Joy is quiet, confident assurance that God loves me, that He's in charge of all of the circumstances surrounding me and the world in which I live, and He's certainly capable of taking care of whatever comes my way. We're not in control, but we do have a greater hope, and we do have a source of joy that isn't based on our circumstance. And when we choose joy in that moment, it's a holy moment. It's a sacred moment. Philippians is full of that. Philippians 3:1, be full of joy in the Lord, a command. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Isaiah 25 verse 9 says this, "This is our God. We trusted in Him and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad." The next chapter in 26, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in You. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal." Paul's example, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of living and dying, He says in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's Paul's example. He struggles further in Philippians 3:14, "I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Friends, be full of joy. Be full of joy in the Lord, and show God that you're trusting and depending on Him. So, we're done. Quick. Joy. A harvest of joy honors God. A harvest of joy is a holy moment. A harvest of joy shows Jesus to the world. A harvest of joy is an option of other sorts to our friends and family members that might not consider joy. Joy, a harvest of joy, shows God that we're yielding to Him on a daily basis, and He's honored and glorified in that. So this week, no matter what the circumstance, choose that holy optimism, which enables you to live, to reflect, to serve Jesus in a productive and a fruitful way, no matter what the circumstance. I love this about Christianity. The greatest thing about being a Christian is it's all based on choice. You shouldn't be a Christian because mom and dad are Christians. You shouldn't be a Christian because your friends at school are Christians or in the workplace. Instead, real Christianity is about relating to Christ, seeking Him, communing with Him, and having a real live relationship with Him, walking with Him on a daily basis. And guess what, guys? It's all a matter of choice, isn't it? We choose to do that. We choose. Choosing Jesus is also a holy moment. It's an act of submission. And I would pray and hope that maybe you're considering who Jesus is and you're journeying that way. Choosing Jesus is a significant step. Choosing Jesus to allow Him to change and move in your life is a huge decision. It's a day-by-day decision that we need to make as believers to follow after Him and behold Him. Let's face it, before we came to Christ, our lives weren't so pretty, weren't they? We weren't of such good characters, but God, through His Holy Spirit in our lives, allowed this change and this transformation to take place as we chose to allow Him to work in our lives. It's all about choice, and I would pray that we would choose joy, that we would choose Jesus if we haven't, allow Him to work in our lives. Let's pray together if we could. Father, thank You again for Your word. It's living and active, and indeed it pierces down to the innermost part of our being. Thank You for its instruction. Thank You for its encouragement. Thank You for the standard by which we can live our lives and anchor our faith in. And Father, joy, it's tough. It's something that You require of us because You are a God of joy. But it does express to You that we're trusting in You, even though we can't understand the circumstance in which we are. So I would pray for each one of these dear folks in this room, Father, that might be struggling with that whole idea of walking and choosing to follow hard after You. Lord, You are capable of changing and transforming and causing circumstances to work together for good in our lives. And Father, we would pray for one another in that You would continue to work and transform us into the image of Jesus. And Father, as we're filled with Your Spirit, love flows forth. As we're filled with Your Spirit and bearing fruit, that joy flows forth. Might we reflect You to the world around us, Father. Might we be the most joyful people on the planet because we're trusting and depending on You. Thank You so much for hearing our prayers. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And Paul writes as a benediction in Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him." And that's my prayer for you guys as well. Thank you.